I'm Mark Bayshore. This year's Christmas holiday is bringing back unpleasant memories of last year's intense ice storm and power outages. 1 year ago, thousands of people in the Lansing area were without electricity because of hundreds of downed, ice-coated trees that disconnected lines. Many residents spent days, some more than a week, without power, often at significant expense. The episode amounted to an embarrassing rite of passage for the capital city's municipally owned utility, the Lansing Board of Water and Light. Today, the utility has implemented, or is in the process of implementing, dozens of reforms brought to light by the incident. An 11-member community review team spent several months investigating and making those recommendations. So where exactly does the BWL stand today? Is it better prepared to handle another emergency? Our next guest says yes. David Price has been a BWL commissioner since 2009. 6 months ago, he became chairperson of the 8-member body, which is charged with oversight of the utility. And David Price, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
I'm also joined by the Lansing State Journal's Steve Reed, who spent a good deal of time and energy reporting on the BWL since the storm. Steve Reed, welcome.
Thank you.
Dave Price, when you think back on the board's priorities before the ice storm and compare that with today's priorities, how have they changed?
Well, I think they've changed significantly and dramatically. Before the ice storm, to be honest with you, questions to BWM management about preparedness for this type of event, in the 3 years that I was on the board, I don't recall that those were ever asked. We were pleased with some of the progress that the board had made on things like the new Rio cogeneration power plant, state of the art, envy of a lot of other power plants. We just never asked those questions. And then as the community review team, General McDaniel, pointed out, we had a huge blind spot. The board did, and I believe management did. And since that time, we're asking a lot more questions.
Steve Reed?
I want to follow up on that question-asking comment you made. You said about 6 months ago, upon taking over the leadership of the Board of Commissioners, that it was the board's job to ask tough questions. And I wondered in the 6 months, what tough questions have you had to ask of management or of your colleagues on the board?
Well, I think the questions have to do with our preparedness. And what have we done since the community review team? And we are constantly monitoring that because those recommendations really did the job that maybe the board should have done. They made the recommendations. They showed the weaknesses. They showed the blind spots. And they said, here's what you as a utility can do to fix those things. So I think we're holding management's feet to the fire and asking, okay, where are we on this? Where are we on that? We also had to ask some questions about a rate increase. These things, we were going to ask for a rate increase a year ago, but decided that was not in the best interest of the BWL because we were dealing with the storm outage and the feedback from that. But I think management had to justify that rate increase to the board. It was not going to be necessarily just a rubber stamp and say, yes, you're going to get a rate increase. So that was those were some of the other tough questions. So.
Was BWL's management, was management's unwillingness to provide support for various claims, was that a concern to you before the ice storm? Was that on your radar prior to a year ago?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
I mean, you're suggesting that there's a heightened willingness after the ice storm to really hold management's feet to the fire. Was that to any extent on your radar prior to the ice storm?
I'd have to say no. And I think I said this in one of the interviews that I did with Steve a while ago, is we were used to getting good news. We were on time and on budget on the power plant. We were on budget overall as a utility. Our bottom line was where it was supposed to be. We were making payments to the city. So we kind of sat back and heard the good news every meeting.
How can you make the board less dependent on management for direction, less deferential to management?
Well, I think we're still figuring that out now. And there's no question about that, that the board needs to feel empowered that it has a right to do that. And one of the first things, as you know, that I said when I became chair is the board needs to be trained. And we did that. We had a trainer from the American Public Power Association spend a full day with us about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And what does it mean to be a board? And a lot of times people get on various and sundry boards and you know, it's an honor and a privilege. And then you get there and you're not sure what you're supposed to do. I've had a lot of experience on other boards of directors, and I wouldn't say our board was dysfunctional, but it wasn't. It really wasn't directional. It didn't quite know where to go other than maybe listen to management, ask some questions here or there, and then generally approve things. Now I think they're digging a little deeper. At least some of my colleagues on the board are. And I think following that training, it was an aha moment for some board members saying, oh, so that's what we're supposed to be doing, you know.
David Price is our guest. David is chairperson of the 8-member board overseeing the Lansing Board of Water and Light, and the Lansing State Journal. Steve Reed also joins me. Commissioner Cynthia Ward, in yesterday's story written by Steve Reed, said that to actualize a real difference, and those are her words, to actualize a real difference in terms of getting a more assertive board, that it couldn't just be you, and she referred, I believe, specifically to you. It couldn't just be you, her, and Dennis Lowney, for example. It is an 8-member board.
Correct.
You need others. Is there a significant divide on the board as to how to proceed, as to becoming more vigorous and aggressive?
I'm reluctant to call it a divide, but perhaps it's a difference in perception of roles. And I think we're moving closer together on a unified way of looking at management and looking at the board, but I still think we have some ways to go on that. You know, what will test it, I think, are difficult decisions. And I don't know what those necessarily will be down the road, but how do we come together when, you know, it might be controversial, there might be differing opinions, and my thought is that once a board feels those things out and debates them, that you need to come together and reach consensus. That is the job of the board. Even though there may be disagreements, the board needs to come together and agree this is how we're going forward.
But does it boil down to some members on the board being less willing to adopt this more aggressive, more vigorous, hold your feet to the fire kind of approach?
That could be true. I hope it's not. I hope everyone has an opportunity to learn and grow. But it's a new experience for some board members. I think Cynthia or Dennis might have said in Steve's article, no, there are a lot of people on the board who never experienced a crisis of any kind before, whether on this board or somewhere else. So,
I wondered. Last year at review time, employee review time, you only have 3 employees.
Yep.
The board only is responsible for 3 employees. One is the general manager. And the general manager's performance for the year was rated commendable. Is there a prospect for change of the employee review process?
Absolutely. When I looked at the instrument that we used for all 3 of our employees, it's almost impossible to give somebody a bad review on that instrument, unless they're all, you know, it's a 1 through 9 scale. Unless you're given all 1s and 0s, you come out with something better than bad. I have asked, when I became chair, I appointed Cynthia Ward as the chair of the HR committee and charged the HR committee with, you guys need to come up with a better evaluation tool than what we're using, one that's more realistic, one that doesn't spread 1 through 9, that maybe has 3 categories, acceptable, not acceptable, and exceeds expectations, something like that. So that will be used in the next evaluation. We've looked at some examples. We haven't agreed on anything yet, but that's certainly something that we're gonna work on and do differently this year.
Okay. Is Peter Lark the right person to lead the BWL here in the near future?
I don't know if I can answer that. I think that's something that the board still thinks about. You know, there was no question that we were disappointed with some of the things that that happened during the ice storm, it could have been done differently and could have been done better. That being said, I think since the ice storm, you know, Peter's been point person for implementing all these recommendations that came from the CRT, the MPSC, and our own internal review. And I have to say, from what we've seen, you know, it is a different BWL. And I know that the general said it was going to be difficult to change the culture. I think the culture has changed and continues to change to be a more responsive organization to the customers and to the community.
David, I know that the board members have been trying to identify the blind spots that existed, and I've been trying to do the same thing in my understanding of BWL. And one of the things I've realized is I don't understand the board's the process by which the Board of Commissioners budgets or requests or discusses getting operating funds for itself. What is the process by which the board obtains its operating expenses?
It actually just kind of floats from year to year. There's not a lot of deliberation on it, and I think that's something that when we go through our budget process next year, I want to take a look at.
How big a deal is that?
Pardon me?
How big a deal is what Steve brings up?
Well, the actual amount, to be honest with you, and I should know this, and I don't.
I wasn't getting at the amount so much, but yep. How big of an issue in general is what Steve is getting at?
Well, I think it's a transparency issue. Isn't that what you're getting at?
Well, I think the board should know what its budget is,
sure.
and should say, here's what we need, should have discussions among the commissioners, perhaps that, well, what do we want to accomplish
yep.
this year, and how much is it going to cost?
I hear, yep.
And my sense is that there is just this pass-through of a budgeted amount of money for the board as if it were just simply a department of the bigger machine.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you because I think we demand that a justification for all the departments within the BWL. How much are you going to spend on water and what do you need for in electricity and all those kind of things? And as a board, it should be it's like budgeting for anything. What are your needs? What can we justify? What makes sense? You know, And we haven't done that. We didn't do that last year. So we've got a new budget process that will start the new budget year, which begins in July. So that budget process will be starting after the first of the year, probably February or March. Those are questions that I intend to ask. So.
David Price is chairperson of the BWL board. Steve Reed, reporter for the Lansing State Journal, also joins us today on WKAR's Current State. General Michael McDaniel, who led the BWL Community Review Team's efforts earlier this year, appeared a few days ago on City Pulse Newsmakers and pointed out there's one recommendation among the CRT recommendations that he says hasn't been acted upon yet, namely the appointment of what he calls a performance auditor or operational auditor. Let's listen to General McDaniel's comments, and then you can respond.
To have sufficient oversight, which was one of our greatest concerns, of the operations and also the strategy, that, you know, looking forward, how are we going to do things? How are we going to be innovative? How are we going to assure best practices for the next 1, 5, and 10 years? We really thought that they needed to have some greater level of oversight, and to do that, they needed some form of auditor, a performance auditor or an operational auditor, I think we called it in our report. And that really hasn't been done yet. It's something I think that needs to be done by the board. It may require a further city charter change to do that.
What do you make of that, David Price?
I don't disagree with that.
Are you on the same page, you think, with the CRT review? And do you understand the role of what he's trying to recommend?
Absolutely. Okay. And, in fact, I individually have already looked at that. The question is, do we, you know, as Steve mentioned, we have three employees. We have the internal auditor, which is basically a financial auditor. We have our board staff person, a support person, and we have the general manager. When I read that last May, when the report came out, I started doing some investigation, and there the question is it an employee that we want, or is it a third party that knows how to do this, that can come in and perform that, just like you would hire Price Waterhouse or one of the, you know, one of the Cooper's,
accounting firm.
Yeah, accounting firm auditors. Are there auditors who audit public utilities? And there are. So this is something I think we're going to want to discuss and look at this year, because I think it is a recommendation that has not, and it's a board recommendation, not obviously a management for management.
Let me follow up with one more thing here. A listener in East Lansing is going to be very angry with me if I don't bring this up, because a listener brought up tree trimming in East Lansing to me yesterday. There are apparently yard signs in East Lansing saying, BWL, stay off my property, referring to tree trimming efforts. Is the utility's relationship with property owners in East Lansing specifically regarding tree trimming, does that relationship need some attention?
I think it does, but I don't think it's unusual. When the tree trimming issue started last spring, I did a Google search on tree trimming and utility anger. And after 25, 30 pages, I stopped looking at all the reports. It is an issue that is, it's nationwide. Nobody wants their trees trimmed in a way that the that they're trimmed for to protect electric wires. There are standards. They leave the trees looking somewhat misshapen, and people don't like that. I happen to live in a neighborhood on the west side of Lansing, an old neighborhood, that has similar issues. We had a lot of trees down, and we got a lot of trees, and you know, people don't like the way they're cut. That being said,
some people are considering it retaliation.
It was never retaliatory at all. You know, I think the reason that the BWL went into that neighborhood soon after, you know, the ice melted was because they had such a large number of trees down.
This is Pinecrest, if I'm not mistaken.
I was thinking it was Glen Cairn, but that's okay.
Okay, you may be right. We're just about out of time.
You know, there were so many trees down in there, just like there were so many trees down on the west side because of the old growth. So I think that's where the attention was paid first, to prevent an outage like that happening again. So.
We have to leave it at that. Regrettably, we want to thank our special guest, David Price, a chairperson of the 8-member board that oversees the Lansing Board of Water and Light. Steve Reed, many thanks to you, Steve Reed of the Lansing State Journal.